It's now time to meet a well-known Czech personality, though long departed, in today's edition of Czechs in History. Dieter Asiedu will take you to the chateau of Countess Sidonie Nádherná.
In a spacious room in a romantic neo-Gothic chateau, we've been gazing out of a window for over 10 minutes now. In the scenic park that spreads out before me, I see the image of a woman in a beautiful early 20th century dress sitting on a bench with no cares in the world. Two men, a writer and a poet, are keeping her company, taking in the calm of the landscape around them, but keeping their eyes fixed on the muse sitting next to them. Three centuries ago, Vrchotovy Janovice Chateau, which lies in a sleepy central Bohemian village of the same name, was the seat of the Counts of Vrbo. But it is the story of the life of the chateau's last private owner, Sidonie Nádherná of Borutín, born 120 years ago this month, that attracts 13,000 visitors every year. Andrei Bajant currently looks after the chateau, and he's with me now, and I doubt there's anyone else who knows more about Sidonie than you do. Who was she?
She was a woman that is still now very attractive for even young people, because she loved nature and animals and had a big talent to build parks and to understand arts and all the culture. And also she was quite beautiful. She was very intelligent. And even her name, Nádherná, means wonderful in Czech. So also her name is beautiful.
And she was also quite modern in her ways and thinking compared to other women at the time, wasn't she? She spoke Czech, German and English, and I believe she even understood French and Italian.
Yes, she was quite exceptional before the First World War. She was driving sometimes across whole Europe. She was driving to France and Switzerland, Italy. Like her friends, she didn't have much prejudice about anything, but she still loved the old culture very much, and she was conservative in the way that she wanted to preserve the castle and the park and all the pieces of art.
Now, one of the best known and actually one of the few preserved portraits of Sidonie was painted by the renowned artist Max Schwebinski, who, despite her independence and strong character, gave her a rather dreamy look and painted her with very soft and fragile features. I believe to many artists, Sidonie was more than just good company. She actually inspired them. Of course, I'm thinking of two main personalities here. Her good friend, the German poet Rainer Maria Rilke, and Karel Kraus, who, as personal letters suggest, was also her lover.
Kraus, a very well-known journalist and critic and also author, he lived most of his time in Vienna, where he had a big influence on cultural life. He was publishing his magazine Die Fackel, which means the torch, where he wrote all the articles by himself, very sharply criticizing all kitsch and also some social injustices. But here in Janovice he started to write poems about nature and love, which was quite different from what he was doing in normally. And he was saying it's also the surrounding of Janovice and of course the personality of Sidonie Nádherná, which inspired him and enabled him to get rid of all the things that were annoying him.
What about German poet Rainer Maria Rilke?
Rilke came to Janovice first in 1910. Afterwards he was here 3 times. Once he spent a few weeks here. He liked the surrounding, he liked the countryside and the park, and was remembering it long after it. He was mentioning it in his letters to Sidonia. and some of his poems were written here, or started to be written here. He wasn't coming to Bohemia anymore afterwards, but he remained friend with Sidonia, corresponding until his death and meeting in various places in Europe. In the Second World War, there was a headquarters of SS troops in the park and in the castle. Some people were shot in the park, and it was quite sad and very ironic, because all of the Sidonia's friends and she herself were very big pacifists.
So I imagine she was thrown out of her own home. Where did she live during the German occupation?
She was living in a farm, which was the only one that remained in her property during the war. All the rest has been used as place for shooting and for training the soldiers. And yes, she was living there in quite modest conditions.
And when she returned in 1945?
She returned by the end of 1945, when the Russian army left, who were here after the Germans and who also destroyed some of the things. She returned in the autumn and started to renovate the castle. She got some money from the state for it and was trying to renovate the park as well. But she wasn't much successful, and she didn't have much money. And after the communists came to power, she was having a lot of problems with the state. And in 1949, she at last emigrated to England.
Now, what became of the chateau? What was it used for during the communist period?
Many things got lost, destroyed. And in 1950, there came an order that the castle should be cleared of all the things and that there will be storage for textile. And so the things were thrown out of the windows and the furniture was being burned and the porcelain was destroyed. And also there were many manuscripts from Sidonia's friends and some old books, which were also burned, probably. After Sidonia left, she went to Ireland, and she was planning to go to Argentine and go as far from all these disasters as possible. But she just then got ill and died in the end of 1950.
She died of cancer?
She died of lung cancer. Also, she was a heavy smoker, and after all this stress during the war, she was smoking about 100 cigarettes a day. But she was still quite a strong personality, and she wasn't broken up until the last days. Her friend Mechtilda Lichnowsky, a German countess and also writer, was with her until the last moment, and she wrote a short story about her death, and it still can be seen in this story that she didn't give up.
Today's visitors will only find traces of the glorious days that the chateau once enjoyed. The chateau is now property of the National Museum and is gradually being rebuilt. It houses two permanent exhibitions, Czech Society in the 19th Century and Rilke, Krauss and Vrchotovy Janovice, and Czech Bellmasters.
Plans are to open up a centre for Central European gatherings in the autumn of 2006, transforming the chateau into a place with a library, study room, lecture and concert hall, where scientists, artists and the general public will be able to meet to attend seminars, lectures and scientific workshops.